For those of you who see me get up from prayer time, it gets harder every Christmas. Amen. Have you noticed, as you read God's Word, there are even scriptures that point it out. It says, not many noble. Not many honorable. Not many notable. But it says that for those who are the lowly, Christ makes himself known. He calls very earthen vessels to some holy use. Amen? Now, let me just say this in a manner that is going to make it just absolutely plain. In other words, God calls you. And God calls me to his holy purpose. Do you understand how amazing that is? Do you understand what an incredible blessing and privilege it is to be called by the King of Kings, by the Lord of Lords, to be called into his service? Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word? We're going to be reminded just how infatuated God is with us ordinary people. In Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, we're going to read part of the Christmas story. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. He went to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid. And the Lord said to them, the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in this city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the who? By who? The shepherds. Father, would you give us an image of what we're reading? And Father, we pray that the understanding of your call of these very simple men would hit home to our hearts today. Thank you, God, that you call the lowly. Would you bless your word as we read, as we expound, and as we hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Did you know that many of our mental images of Christmas come from Christmas cards? a lot of times the what we think and what we see so many times, especially when we're younger, bring us to a place where we think we know what we're seeing. Christmas cards, most of them came from medieval art. I wonder how many of you have ever seen a Christmas card that had the three wise men standing at the manger when Jesus was born. Anybody seen one of those? Yeah, and the wise men were there, right? It shows them there literally just minutes or an hour or so after his birth. But if you read the Gospels and you read them carefully, you realize, as I do, that it could have been, what, up to 2 years before they found Christ Jesus. Herod had sought to kill all the baby boys in his kingdom. How old? 2 years and younger. Why? Because that's when the star had first been seen. Now, I'm not saying that we can't have the wise men at the manger. It's not a bad thing. We realize that if they could have, that would have been there, right? And we know the shepherds were. We're going to get back to that. Now, we also know that the Christmas cards show how many wise men? Three. How many were there? But we do know this. There were three gifts. What were they? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We're going to talk more about that another Sunday, so I won't go into that, okay? Three gifts. So we assume maybe three wise men, three magi. Now, if we can get confused about the magi, it really wouldn't be all that difficult for us to get confused about the shepherds as well. And we get this picture from the Hallmark cards and the maybe even the Hallmark movies, that we get this image of a very quiet, gentle folk who are out there with little sheep. Bah. Right? The pastoral psalms of David are probably imaged up in our heart and mind, beside the still waters, in the green pastures, little quiet lyres of being played by David, you know, and we get this really gentle picture of some folks singing sweet songs around the campfire, and gentle shepherds with their beautiful sons beside them. Well, let me tell you, did you know that in this period of history, shepherds were very unpopular people? Shepherds were a despised vocation. They were literally scorned as being shiftless, dishonest people who grazed their sheep on other people's land. They were taking the resources from other folks. Listen, they were indeed a very tough breed of man. Can you think of maybe doing an 18th century cowboy's job without a horse? They had a rough job. It was hard work finding grass in such a rocky place. Do you know what Israel is very famous for having the most of? Rocks. Not pasture land. But Bethlehem had a very nice piece of pasture land close by. But I'm going to tell you, I don't think these guys you're thinking about were the angelic Hallmark faces that you think they are. I kind of think of them more like this. Show me a picture. Cowboys with a staff. Listen, Sam Elliott never looked so good, all right? Nobody ever encouraged their children to grow up to be shepherds because they were a tough, smelly, dirty lot of very ordinary people. Now, I want you to notice from the account that we just read from God's Word, to whom did the angels first share the good news of Christ's birth? To these folks. To these cowboys of the East, if you will. The shepherds. Listen, we would have done it very differently, amen? I would have done it differently. We'd have looked for kings and princes and television stations and arranged a parade. Angels could have gone to the religious leaders and to the governors. After all, God had gotten Moses to the very top, right? He got all the way to Pharaoh when he wanted him to talk to the top people. Why couldn't God have gotten the angels to the the high people, the royal people. Why not? There was a reason. Why was this news first revealed to shepherds? I want you to look at it again. Look, open your Bible. Look back at verse 8. Let's look at it again. Now, they were in the same country. Same country as what? Where Mary and Joseph were, Bethlehem. And if you, I don't know how many of you have been to Israel, but those who've been with me, you remember that right outside the town of the edge was this large shepherd's field. I can't imagine that it was anywhere else, but just right there in my own heart and mind. But now they're in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. I love the King James. They were sore afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." So in this account, I think we discover the heartbeat of God. We're reminded that Jesus was sent to the lowly and the ordinary, not to the religious elite, not to the politically savvy, not to the rulers. He came to shepherds. Why? Because shepherds are the metaphor for the people that Jesus came to save. He came to save those guys who were shifty in their business, maybe. He came to guys who were the tough, down and dirty folks. Isn't that what the birth of Jesus is all about? The angels came to shepherds in their routine, everyday life. Now notice, the angels came to them in the field where they were working, the working people. That, again, is what the birth of Christ is all about. It is all about God meeting us where we are. Listen, God wants you right where you are. You do not have to move. You do not have to change to invite God into your life. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Once He comes in, there's going to be some change. Amen? But you don't have to change to come to God. God wants you right where you are in your ordinary. And friends, once you come to Him and you know Him, and you love Him, God wants to continue to be with you where you are. Not just on the holy days. Not just on the Sundays. But in the ordinary days, the everyday places. But He wants to meet with you in extraordinary ways where you are. It's about God coming into our everyday lives and saying, "Do not be afraid." Have you ever been afraid to live for Christ? Now I've got to wonder, do angels really look like what we think they do? We get these pictures from medieval art of these little cherubs. You know what I'm talking about? They look like babies with wings. I'm going to say that if little cherubs had appeared to the shepherds, I don't think they would have been afraid. Can you imagine a bunch of little plump little babies with wings showing up going, and all the shepherds go, "Ah!" I think we're going to be surprised when we see angels. Because almost every time that an angel appears, what are their first words? "Don't be afraid." They must have a mighty countenance. So here we are with the shepherds looking for angels. And He says, "Don't be afraid." Why? Because I have good news. It's about God meeting us right where we are, in our pain, in our loneliness, in our frustration, in our anger. It's about meeting Him on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. And maybe especially on Saturday when we have time away from work that we can spend more time with Him. It's about God literally wanting to be a part of your everyday life. Everyday life. If you only meet with God on the special days, what have you got? I think that's why God sent His angels to the shepherds. I really do. To let us know that he sent his son here for all people. Even for the most ordinary. And maybe I should say especially for us most ordinary people. Notice there, again, that favorite phrase. The shepherds were sore afraid. Greatly afraid. They were in shock. They didn't know what to do. They were scared half to death. They probably thought they were going to die because here was angelic beings showing forth in all their might and glory. They thought maybe God was bringing their wrath down on them. They'd finally been caught for the last time on somebody else's property. I don't know. But instead, what did it say? God was bringing them what? Good news. And the angel told him, fear not, I have good news for all of you, for everybody. He didn't say, now run to the mighty and run to the rulers and run to the governor. He said, no, he said, go tell all people that today a Savior is born. And then when he did say that, the angel said, you know, that today a Savior is born to you. It says that all of a sudden, that there wasn't just one angel, but the entire heavens filled with the heavenly chorus, and they began to sing. I can't wait to hear that. In the midst of a very ordinary night, ordinary shepherds encountered the extraordinary God of salvation. The thing is, so can you. So can we. Nobody was more surprised than the shepherds. Listen, I'm sure that there were people around going, yeah, right. You guys heard from God. You guys had angels appear to you. I'm sure some of those priests in the temple were a bit jealous, or they just flat didn't believe. These guys, these shepherds, they never expected to hear from God if they were in church, much less when they weren't in church. But that's the way God is sometimes. He meets us when we least expect it in the most mundane, ordinary things in life. Here a few weeks ago, I shared with you a thought. Oswald Chambers, in one of his devotions, used the analogy. He says, don't just look for God in the deeps of your life, but look for God in the shallows where we spend most of our time, right? I think that's what he's saying here. Expect him when you're at work. Expect him when you finally get a break from the day. Be ready to meet God anytime. You see, God is always at work around you. God never ceases to work. Listen, when does God stop? Never. God is always at work around you. So you need to be watching or you'll miss him. You'll miss what he's doing. You might miss your burning bush because you're not paying attention. Now, how did the shepherds respond? Like the good old country boys they were. Listen, I would have loved to have been there. Now, imagine Sam Elliott leaning over to another cowboy after the angel had gone, and they had this light fill the sky, and you have the whoa, and they're gone. Did you see that? Yeah. Let's go. Go where? Into town. We're going to go tell everybody what we saw. I mean, the first thing is kind of unbelief. Did I really see what I just saw? And the next thing is, I can't wait to tell somebody. They had to go see for themselves. Look at verse 15. He said, so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, did you see that? Are you reading it? Does it say that? No. That's my envision, okay? Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste. Look at that word, haste. What did it say? Haste. What does haste mean? They probably ran. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. They got busy. That's what the shepherds did. Listen, we're talking about guys that were as close to Texas rednecks as we get. We're talking about people like you and me, everyday, ordinary people, but when they heard the word, they got busy and they headed straight out. They did not stop and say, I think 1,000 of those guys could have stood on the head of a pin. They didn't philosophize about their experience. They didn't argue over theology of angels. They didn't sit down to write a book. They didn't contemplate, oh, well, who am I that they would have revealed themselves to me? Listen, they already knew who they were. They knew what they were. All they knew is that he came to us. Let's go tell everybody what we saw. Verse 17. Now when they had seen him, the babe, lying in a manger, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. Must have been pretty exciting. Can you imagine being one of those shepherds and going into town and they're talking to each other, literally running, and they said, What? He said, I don't think they're going to believe us. He said, I don't think they will either, but how can we not tell them? We've got to tell them what we saw. They might not have believed that anybody would believe what they saw. But they went and they shared and the Holy Spirit was at work. And it says, look, and all those who heard it marveled. Why? Because the shepherds were such lofty, trusted people? No. Because God was behind it. And you may think, you know, when God does something for me, nobody's going to believe it. Listen, you just share what God puts in your heart and on your life, and you let God take care of the rest. Amen? Why can't we have that wonder every day? Christmas has become so routine, has it not? It's so routine, so predictable, so programmed. But it can be our choice to stop the routine. Amen? It can be our choice and start celebrating the presence of the Lord our God. I think like the shepherds, we just need to continue to share the wonder. We need to continue to share what God does. Once you've seen Jesus, once you know him in your heart, how in the world can we keep silent? Amen? Why don't we do like the shepherds? What could possibly keep us from telling the world except our own silence? Isn't it amazing what we forget when we take our eyes off Jesus? Jesus does something for us in our private quiet time. He speaks to our heart and it's overwhelming. It might bring us to tears or it might bring us to dancing before God, but it brings us into the presence of God and it's awesome. And then when we leave his presence, we forget to tell people. Amazing what we forget when we leave his presence. When we take our eyes off of him. There are millions of people stuck in the routine of life who need the wonder of a new life in Jesus Christ. Could I ask you above all things this morning, don't let anything silence your joy. Amen. I don't know how you celebrate Christmas at home. I just don't know. In the past, I've gotten in trouble for making some statements about Christmas and who's there and who's not. But let me tell you this. If Santa is in your house, would you make sure that he's telling the real Christmas story? Would you make sure that he is bowing at the manger? Our kids don't need, oh, this is real and this is not. I ask you to be very, very careful. Don't let anything silence your joy. And, dear friends, when you do share it, there are going to be people who want to know it. There are going to be people who want to hear it. and they're going to respond to it. And I'm going to ask you, would you help them to come to a place where they will want to hear about Jesus? I'm going to read a little story to you about a man named Bill. I may have done this in the past. I don't remember, but I do know this. It's a wonderful account. It was shared with me some 20-something years ago. His name was Bill. He had wild hair. He wore a t-shirt with holes in it and no shoes. In the entire time that I knew him, I never once saw Bill wear a pair of shoes. Rain, sleet, snow, Bill was always barefoot. That was his complete wardrobe for his 4 years in college. He was brilliant. And he looked like he was always pondering the esoteric. He had been attending a Bible study fellowship with other students on campus, and he decided to try the church across the street from the college campus, a very pristine and formal church on the outside. One Sunday, Bill walked into the church, wild hair, holy t-shirt, blue jeans, and bare feet. The church was completely packed that morning. And because he came in late, the church was already packed. So he walked down the middle of the aisle looking from side to side, trying to find a place to sit. And now, by now, people were looking at him a bit uncomfortable, hoping that he wouldn't sit by them. But as he got to the front, he realized that there were absolutely no empty seats. So he did what all the students did on campus when he was at Bible study. And he sat down right in front of the altar where the preacher was beginning to preach, and sat down to listen to the message. Just about the time that Bill took his seat, an old deacon started making his way up the aisle from the back of the sanctuary. The old deacon was in his 80s, silver hair, three-piece suit, pocket watch. He was the picture of reserve and elegance. He was a godly man and very dignified. And as he neared the young man, the church members thought, well, you know, you really can't blame him for what he's about to do. How can you expect a man of his age and tradition to understand some college kid who came and just flopped down at the altar in the middle of the worship service? It took quite a long time for the deacon to reach the young man, and the church was utterly silent except for the click, click, click of his cane as he made the way down to the front. Every eye was on that old deacon. Everybody gasped at what they saw next. For with great effort, the elderly deacon got down on the floor next to Bill, smiled, shared his hymn book, and worshiped with Bill. The pastor said, you may never hear a word that I say this morning, but you will never forget the sermon that you just saw. If you're an ordinary human being, rejoice, because God came for you. If you're a Bill, God came for you. Or if you're the silver-haired deacon, God came for you. No less for either one. And no less joy when either one comes to the Father. When God speaks to you, and he does, dear people, God is always working around you. He is speaking to you. Are you listening? When God speaks to you, do like the shepherds did, would you please? Go see what he's talking about, right? Let your joy be known among all people. Tell everyone what God is doing in your life. And you may think, man, they don't care what I'm doing. I'm a nobody. Listen, you take the message and let God take care of the validation. Go see. Invite all those around you into the joy of the Lord. And by all means, dear people, please make the folks around you comfortable, even if you have to stretch your comfort a little bit. Amen. Heavenly Father, I am so thankful that you came for the ordinary. I am so thankful that you reveal yourself to children, to us simple folks who have a heart's desire to hear from the Father. Would you help us, Lord, not to hold it in? Help us to go with joy. Help us to share with others. And Lord, when somebody, anybody, makes an effort to want to know more about you, would you help us to make sure that we share our hymn books? Would you pray? Would you ask God how he might use you to reach others? Would you ask him to speak to you? Friend, maybe the only reason that you haven't heard God speak to you is because you haven't been still enough to hear. Be still. And when he speaks, you don't hesitate. You respond. Would you make that your prayer right now? Father, when you speak to my heart, I'll respond.